Immediate reaction to the Marlins and Cardinals game on Sunday, the 26th of February, game two of spring. I sat down, watched it live, UK friendly, on TV. So many storylines heading into this game specifically. Johnny Cueto debut, Eury Pérez spring training debut, Jazz Chisholm debut in center field. Marlins debuts as well for Luis Arraez and Gene Segura. Tons to look forward to. Oh boy, things did not go well. We're going to dig into all of that news and reaction. All on today's show.
You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings from England and welcome to Locked On Marlins. This is your daily Marlins podcast. It is your team every day. I'm your host, Peter Pratt. Hit me up on Twitter at Miami Marlins _UK. If you are listening to the pod, hit subscribe. If you are wondering, yes, there is a YouTube channel. It is called Locked On Marlins. Head on over to there, hit subscribe too. You will see it is nighttime here in the UK on a Sunday evening. And I've just watched, enjoyed, not sure that's the right word, but I've just enjoyed the last 2 hours and 15 minutes or so. These games are fast. Of Marlins baseball. Spring training is here. And there was so many storylines heading into this game. And it's fair to say some of the questions that we were looking to get answers to, well, we've got some answers, but they weren't the ones we were hoping for. Let's start, though, briefly with yesterday's game. I didn't watch it live, but I caught up with it relatively loosely. I would say my main takeaways were that Chichi Gonzalez, not a good outing. We'll wait and see if he retires midway through spring training. Who knows? But in terms of guys that are ascending, I mentioned it on the pod on Friday. For me, Dan Castano has a real chance of making this opening day roster as one of the long men in the bullpen. And for me, obviously, did that no harm in his debut. Two innings of work, clean work from Dan Castano, which is great to see. Jake Mangum, we'll wait and see how things go with Jazz. It's going to be a big talking point on today's episode. But for me, he certainly has the defensive capability to be that defensive replacement guy, and we'll wait to see what the stick is. So that was certainly good to see. Jesus Sanchez as well getting an RBI. So some little storylines there from yesterday, but really I wanted to spend the majority of this episode looking backwards on tonight's game, where, like I said, there was a lot going into this one, a lot that was to look forward to. It was a popcorn matchup, to be honest with you, and the Marlins on TV, which is great. Let's start with Johnny Cueto. He was the starter, and it's fair to say things did not go well for Johnny Cueto. First off, Johnny Cueto is here. This is one of the key decisions that Kim made during this offseason, effectively to trade Pablo Lopez to the Twins. And Johnny Cueto is a free agent to replace Pablo Lopez for here and now. So it's one of the big decisions. It's all interconnected here. Cueto in, and he was definitely unhappy with the strike zone early on from the umpires. He was definitely getting a little bit upset, let's say, showing some frustration. But overall, this outing was not that great. It's fair to say five earned runs here, five runs given up by Johnny Cueto, 5-0 down the Marlins were in that first inning. I think Craig Mish said that this is maybe one that they want to forget pretty quickly. But the key bits here, though, I think not only was Cueto giving up some hard contact, which wasn't, you know, obviously over-encouraging to see, but really all eyes are on the defense. This is why it's not just the pitching, it is the defense that we want to get our eyeballs on, because in this game, starting from a position player perspective and defensively, Jazz Chisholm in center field, the biggest storyline right now. But we can't forget either Gene Segura making his debut at third base, hardly ever played third base. Luis Arraez making his debut at second base. It's fair to say the Twins didn't overly fancy him there at second base. And obviously the shift rules are going to add extra weight on those defensive qualities for the middle infielders. So all eyes on these guys. What did we then see? I think Jazz only fielded one ball in center field, so we didn't get a ton of plays to actually look at. And the one that we did, it was on the face of it, and you know, Jazz has spoken after, so I have to give my reaction without hearing Jazz and biasing me. What it looked to me was it was a misstep or he lost it at the point of contact. It looked like it could have been a relatively routine ball to go and field and catch and end up just dropping, short of him. But there was definitely a backward step from Jazz initially. It was the wrong direction because the ball wasn't hit that hard. The sun was out. So I have to say it was either he misplayed it because I think it wasn't overly hard contact or he lost it in the sun. Something along those lines where you kind of looked and thought, I think he's lost that. And then it was just too late to recover. Jazz after the game has said that he saw it fine and he just knew he wasn't getting there. And that's what he's come out and said. I'm not going to discredit Jazz. I mean, if that is read of the situation, so be it. Fair enough. If that is, that's what he's saying. For me, it looked like a misstep. The reality is it's going to be new. It's going to be fresh out there for Jazz. And there's going to be growing pains. And this is the main thing I would say for us as fans. We have to understand and accept the growing pains here. The Marlins have taken an approach here where they are prioritizing the bats. But equally, there's defensively some people are being asked to do things they either have never done before or haven't done in a long time or have limited experience in. And so there is going to be these issues. And I don't know if it was a coincidence because not only did we get that Jazz play that happened within the space of kind of 20 minutes in total, all three of the guys I mentioned defensively were all tested. And I would say all three of them, it wasn't favorable in terms of the results. What did we see? The ball drop in front of Jazz. Like you said, he didn't think he could get the ball anyway. So let's not call that a mistake. Some people will. Luis Arraez then got a ball lined to him at a decent pace. It gets through him. Some runs score. You know, it's definitely a fieldable ball. It's definitely not an error, in my opinion. It's just a hard hit ball that, you know, one of those that kind of short hops you and it's just tough to field. Arraez, it gets through him. So that is what it is. First test there, tough ball. But yeah, that wasn't overly encouraging. Gene Segura at third base. There was a couple of plays, to be honest with you, and he got away with a few of them. But for Gene Segura and transitioning from second to third, where you're having to kind of charge in on balls, and there was like three balls to Gene where he's coming into the ball, collecting it, then looking to turn and make a throw to first. At least one of them, well, definitely one of them, he ended up double clutching and couldn't get the out at first. It was Jordan Walker, beat that one out. But there was at least one, maybe two others as well. So I'd say Gene looked the most uncomfortable, but he had the higher volume of plays. Really, for Jazz and Arraez, these kind of plays happened, bang, bang in many ways. And then nothing else really happened. No other balls really came to those guys. So it's going to be an adventure. The question will be, and this is one that, things will linger on here. The reason this is all happening is down to the fact that the Marlins haven't been able to find an answer at center field. If they find an answer at center field, then that changes things. So right now, Jazz has made the transition. We heard Jazz speaking to Brendan Tobin and Leroy as well on their show. Jazz doesn't see this, that my read anyway, Jazz doesn't see this as a long-term situation for him at center field. He's put his hands up and said he'll do it, but fundamentally Jazz is still talking about shortstop. And that's where he wants to be. And, with Joey Wendell as well, expiring deal, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. If anything changes, the Marlins think, hey, there's an opportunity here for a center fielder. They have to pull the trigger. And then the impact then is what happens next. So that's the question. Is what I was thinking about is how do we even get to opening day? Do we even get to opening day with Jazz in center field? Could it be they go away and acquire a center fielder? Or the other situation as well, could Jake Mangum, could he ascend? Because defensively it looked nice and it looks different, right? Where he looks very comfortable out there. And what I'd say for the Marlins defensively, it was fair to say there was a lack of comfort all over the field. Pretty much every position, there was a lack of comfort, it felt. When you're watching the Cardinals, they looked very comfortable. You had guys making plays. You had real nice fielding plays out in the outfield multiple times. The Cardinals, they looked ready. Like the Marlins looked way off the pace defensively, way off the pace with everything. The Cardinals put up 8 runs, 16 hits. The Marlins, couple of runs, due to a couple of walks and then a couple of sack flies and whatever, but it wasn't pretty, it's fair to say. And two errors as well. Like the Cardinals playing just fundamental baseball, the Marlins, you know, sluggish. Game two, sluggish, no doubt about it. Let's talk about our good friends over at Built Bar, and then we'll carry on with this conversation because there's still tons to get into here, guys. But if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't all those calories, then you've got to try those Built's. And what makes them so good? It's the fact they are covered in 100% real chocolate. That is right, 100% real chocolate. They got all the unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how they do it, but somehow they make these bars taste like a candy bar whilst giving you all of those amazing macros. You have got 130 calories, just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 17 grams of protein. You don't have to wait around to get a box from built.com. You can still get them from there, of course, but if you want to head over to Walmart, why not? Get over to the pharmacy section, a 4-bar box, cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, then you can grab a 13-bar box extravaganza with all the hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. Thank me later and enjoy those builds. So, it's fair to say, defensively, that's the story here, guys. It's the only story that will come out. Well, it's the main story. There are a few other stories, and one of them is Eury Pérez. We'll talk about that shortly, but first test of the new look defense, a lot of the regulars playing today, and the Marlins looked off the pace, they were sluggish and they were poor, and defensively, it didn't look great. Not the optimal start, really not. But we have to understand what's going on. I think that's the key bit, is to understand that it isn't going to be perfect right away. There's going to be growing pains. Gene Segura needs more time working out there. But the Marlins have taken this, they've taken this risk. And it is a risk. And they've done it in a year where the test on defenses is going to be stronger than it's been perhaps ever, for years anyway, since the shift kind of came into play. So the Marlins have zagged when everyone else has zigged, if that makes sense. The league has zigged and the Marlins have zagged. They've gone, do you know what? We're going to deprioritize defense because we need offense. So we're going to get the sticks in and we're going to deal with the positions later. You know, time will tell if this is the right call, but it's too early to say. That's the other thing. We shouldn't get overly caught up. I did want to talk about Jorge Soler. He was out in left field. He equally was looking sluggish in left field. There was a ball that kind of flew out there. He wasn't going to make it, but he was definitely very cumbersome heading over there. And the key thing I wanted to call out is the expectation, perhaps, and I don't think this was from the Marlins. I think it's just as a fan base and potentially me on this pod, you start to create your own narratives where you just assume that Jorge Soler will be the full-time DH. He'll just kind of move into that role. And you kind of do that by thinking, well, you've got Jesus Sanchez, you've got Brian De La Cruz, you've got Avisel Garcia, and you've got Jazz Chisholm Jr. out there in center field. So the outfield's kind of like packed out anyway, and you want playing time for De La Cruz. So you start to make the assumption Jorge Soler to the DH role full-time. What we're seeing and what we're hearing isn't that. So I think it's pretty clear that the DH spot is going to be more of a revolving door spot. Jorge Soler will have time DHing, but for the Marlins, they'll be rotating guys in and out. So there's going to be times when Soler's out in left field and a decent chunk of time. So I think we need to understand and accept that too. So not only have the Marlins got, you know, various square pegs and round holes, they've also got Jorge Soler in left field that isn't overly great there. Did make a couple of standout plays last year. But, you know, clearly with Soler, we just want to see the health there. We want to see the power production. As long as we get that, we'll probably forgive him a couple of missteps in left field. So on the other side of the corner, let's just talk briefly about Avisel Garcia because there was pressure on him last year because new guy in, signed the deal. There's even more pressure on Avisel Garcia this year. There has to be because it was just a disaster in 2022. He came in heavy and that was a mistake on his part. He's rectified that. Looking forward to seeing what Avisel Garcia we get. Interesting, you know, great to hear Craig Mish, Jeremy Tashay firing the pod back up, which is, you know, great. One interesting bit there that Craig talked about or didn't really talk about was that he hadn't really heard anything about Avisel Garcia. And so in some ways, that's a bit of a surprise. People like talking up Jorge Soler saying, yeah, we think there's, you know, something there and he could have a good year. We haven't heard anything on Avisel Garcia. I don't know what that means. But nevertheless, today, two plate appearances, two Ks. So we're going to look for something better than that. It's an odd year, skinny Avi. Let's see what we can get out of it. But fundamentally, guys, with Soler also taking time in the outfield as well, there's pressure on Avisail Garcia, and there should be. And if he has a stink in spring and starts slow in the regular season, and Jesus Sanchez, RBI yesterday, or De La Cruz carries on, Soler, you know, there's going to be conversations about playing time for Avisail Garcia, and we have to have them. The reality is we ink him in because he's being paid $12 million. But if it's based on performance last year, he should have been on the bench for a long portion. He obviously missed quite a bit of time the back end of the year, but it was not good with Avi. But the Marlins need him to be good, and they need Soler to be good. They've built the lineup around those guys. They've got a more contact-based approach. They need those guys to be good, because if they're not, then they're in real trouble with this roster, I think, because they need the power, they need the thump, they need the run production from those guys to really get it going. Let's do the second ad, and then want to talk about Eury Pérez, because that, again, was another wonderful story from today. So let's get the graphics fired up for those watching. And it's time to let you know about our good friends over at FanDuel. And it's the midway point of the NBA season, and it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. You just have to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe and secure and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from moneyline point scorers and a number of threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout. I love the sound of that. Bigger payouts with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Okay, right. Eury Pérez, baby. I must say it wasn't quite as big as Jazz's news, I'd say, because all eyes are on Jazz. But if I'm totally honest, I was most looking forward to seeing Eury Pérez pitch two innings today. And overall, I must say I was impressed. The dude, he's only 19, so you have to call this out. You got a 19-year-old kid out there that is throwing 98 gas and a naughty 91 changeup. Like, it's looking real nice already with Eury Pérez. You can see immediately why he's one of the biggest and best pitching prospects in the game. I have zero doubt that if needed right now, and if the Marlins wanted to go that path for whatever reason, which I don't think they will, but I have zero doubt that Eury Pérez would be overmatched. He could join the big league rotation for, you know, opening day. He could make the opening day roster, Eury Pérez, and he would not look overmatched. There would be growing pains, of course. You saw a little bit today, you know, a couple of sliders kind of maybe got away from him, you know, gave up four hits in the two innings. But overall, you can see the talent, the stuff, everything with Eury Pérez. And he's going to be up at the big leagues this year. He's going to be pitching in the big leagues at some point this year. No doubt about it. I'm absolutely convinced of it. And it could be sooner. It could be sooner rather than later. Who knows? It links to the health of the guys, clearly. But, you know, listen, it's, you know, Braxton Garrett, I think, will likely go to AAA. Although Craig Mish, on his pod yesterday, suggesting that, you know, maybe the Marlins will mix and match this kind of six-man rotation, or Braxy maybe out of the pen. I don't know. If they are planning to do that, then that also says to me that the Marlins are absolutely convinced that Eury Pérez is ready to go. Because fundamentally, Eury Pérez, it will be the next man up at that point. So if the Marlins take Braxy on the opening day roster and out of the pen or doing something creative, the Marlins, that just shows the confidence levels in Eury Pérez. And I'm absolutely excited to see how it goes. You got to understand as well, he's going to be nervous out there today. Definitely. But I thought he pitched well, made a couple of small errors, which, you know, happens. But overall, I think it was impressive stuff. So when we look at this game overall, and the reason for doing a pod straight after effectively was, you know, and actually I probably should have started recording it after like the second inning maybe, or the third inning, because, you know, emotions were at their rawest at that point. It's fair to say it was a really poor game for the Marlins. The questions around the defense have not been answered. The offense didn't look great. Cueto didn't look good. Eury Pérez was nice to see for certain. The Cardinals looked miles ahead of the Marlins in terms of where they're at. They looked miles more confident in the field. Guys knew what they should be doing. They knew where they should be, and they were making plays. They were out there making plays all day long, and simply the Marlins weren't. It's only spring. 8-2 in the game, in a second game of spring. Who really cares? We've all been down this path before when the Marlins have been absolutely going bananas in spring. And we'd always look at it and go, wow, okay, can they carry this momentum through? So overall, disappointing. Disappointing, and I'm sure the guys will be disappointed. I think just finally, we have to talk about it because everyone's talking about it. It's funny because me and Sean talked about the new rules and which ones would be, you know, we spent a lot of time, I think, thinking about the shift. A lot of fans did. And it's only now that we've then suddenly realized just how big of an impact the pitch clock is gonna have. Clearly, there was an incident in yesterday's games where the bases were loaded and the final strike and out was given on the batter running out of time, not being in the box alert. So the umpires are calling it as they should be. They're calling it harshly, trying to get the guys into the new rules. But fundamentally, what we're seeing, like from a viewing experience, is, and what the timer is saying, the games that are shaved off at least half an hour, if not an hour, like they're rattling along at a much faster pace, which is great in many ways. I know there'll be people that will complain about losing this or that kind of small nuance, but particularly in spring and particularly in the regular season, you know, just shrinking these games down, just keeping the pace much quicker, more action. It felt like there was more action as well. Like there was both, I mean, the Cardinals had 16 hits, so they had a lot of guys on, but it felt like more hits were getting through, no shift, pitch clock. Just, it feels like the changes, why they've been made for more action and a faster pace of play, feel like it's working effectively. I enjoyed the viewing experience, I must say. Less dead time in the game. There's a few little quirks in there. It feels like Skip Schumacher didn't truly or fully understand the exact rules, I think around maybe end of innings. So I think it took a few innings today to kind of work those kinks out. But that, again, is what spring's for, is trying to understand how you have to adapt what you've always done to the new rules and constraints the players have. I think it's a positive thing. I've seen the fans tweeting about it, the game, saying it felt a positive thing. Clearly, you don't want these incidents where, like, you know, someone, you know, it ends up being a big call in the game where you get a strike called on a hitter because he's not stood in the box correctly. But at the end of the day, they're the rules, and it's their design just to make it more entertaining, perhaps, and more action-packed for the fans. And as a fan, I must say, I'm all for that. We'll wait and see how it all plays out. But I must say, this pitch clock stuff, I don't think is going away, but the results are obvious. The time of game is getting shrunken significantly. And I don't think that's a bad thing, particularly when you play 162 regular season games. Thanks for making Locked On Marlins your first listen of the day, guys. If you're thinking about your second listen, head over to Locked On MLB Prospects. Lindsey Crosby is on there, and I hope he is talking a ton about Eury Pérez. Probably Jordan Walker too, because he had an absolute monster blast there as well, which was equally as impressive. Guys, I'll be back tomorrow, of course. This is the Daily Pod. I'll be back as we look ahead to the week's action. I think there's going to be a lot going on. I'm intrigued to see the way things play out. I want to see more reps from Jazz in center field. I want to see more reps from Gene Segura at third base. And equally, I'm intrigued to see about the shortstop position as well. You know, and center field. Mangum's, I think, impressed. Shortstop, I think, is interesting. And Meyer, I think, is going to be given a decent couple of opportunities. Jordan Groshans. So plenty to get into this week, guys, on Locked On Marlins. And I'll be here for all of it. Make sure you join me.